Tahad Pettiford is back. What does that mean next for Auburn basketball? What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Barn Social Hour, the Monday edition of the Barn Social Hour. My name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. And as I said at the top of the show, Tahad is officially back. In the words of Steve Harrington, he's back.
Yes,
he's
who's back again. Yeah, sorry,
dude. I'm so excited. I'm glad he came back. And people, it was funny. And obviously, the last podcast kind of a little, it didn't age like milk, but it kind of did with the whole Freeman thing, because we talked about Freeman. Yeah, we were talking about Freeman for the most part, and he ended up transferring, or he's in the transfer portal. We don't know where he's going, but. You know, we were excited about that, and then that happened, and people were calling us out for that. And then we were talking about Tahad, and then we got accused of being called homers, which, you know, I don't know why you give a damn that we're homers when this is an Auburn podcast, but it's fine. I'm not mad. I'm not salty.
That was crazy, though, about Freeman. Like, we talked about him, and, like, it was pretty late in the day when we had filmed that. I mean, it was probably around 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. The show obviously was 7. And then literally, like, maybe 2 hours after – or like an hour before we filmed, before it aired, like 6 o'clock, he announced he was in the portal. I was like, oh my gosh, you gotta be kidding. I honestly almost thought about texting. I was like, dude, we just have to film it again.
Like, oh, I looked straight up. It was like, almost like his team was like, almost like spying on us. Like, have they recorded the social hour? All right, good. We're going to announce it in 2 hours. All right, bye. Like, literally, it couldn't have been more timed. It was poorly timed. That's on us. Not really, but what do I know? But
I mean, look, college basketball, this, and especially during the portal, it's ever changing. You know what I mean? It changes so fast. So at the time, he was still at Auburn, and, you know, we'd heard some stuff, and that's what we were, you know, we were talking based on some of the stuff we heard. And then ultimately things change, and they change quickly. Yep. That's just how this industry works. And that's what happened. And look, wish Elijah Freeman the best of luck wherever else he goes. But if he plays against Auburn, then
yeah, it's on
your tiger bait.
It's on, but yeah, I think wherever he ends up, he'll do great. But again, like you're saying, if he has to play against Auburn, if it happens to be a non-conference opponent that we're playing, or if it is truly an SEC school that he will end up at, like Graham said, you're tiger bait. So be ready to
not run three, buddy. I've heard nothing about like his potential, his recruitment of like where he might go. I've heard nothing about.
No, me neither.
I have no clue where he could end up. No,
it's just like, it's so weird, the portal nowadays. It's like, especially like most recently with Jovic, right? So, you know, he announces he's, you know, transferring, and then it's like within like the next day, it's like, oh, he's going to UCLA. It's like, hold on. What do you
that
mean?
That one was really sus. That one like felt like, okay, surely there was some communication before the portal opened. I mean, literally within, he entered the portal, and less than 48 hours later, he was like, all right, I'm cool. I'm found my spot. It's like, you didn't even visit or anything.
And if the rumor is true that he wanted $2 million, we wouldn't give it to him, and UCLA paid him $2 million.
Dude, I find it hard. Come to on, man. $2 million. I just find it so hard. They might have, but I just like, there's no way a school paid him $2 million.
Maybe $2 million insomnia cookies. not. But that being said, let's get to one that's actually back, and it is our star player, Tahad Pettiford. We're happy he's back. Tahad! We get another season of Roadhod. Can't wait. So excited for that. We love us some Roadhod. Who doesn't? Let's be real, Auburn fans. Come on. But I am so excited to see how he makes the jump from the sophomore season. Cause obviously he had, if you compare this past season to his freshman year, yes, he had a slump in terms of shooting, but again, and I will hammer this home until I kick the bucket, his ability to drive to the hoop, and I think Graham will agree with me on this, is very underrated. And because he is so small, he can slash through defenses and make them pay for it. And you saw that in the NIT tournament, whenever he would go on these little hot streaks against these teams, especially in the championship, he would just, you know, almost slice and dice, almost like a chef, and just get through there and score and either get an M1 or draw a foul, you name it, and helped us in the end bring home some hardware. So Hopefully this year he can make the jump and really hone in on basketball, and the coaching staff will be behind him 100%, and he can grow up a little bit, because I'm sure he learned a lot of life lessons this past season off the court and on the court as well. So hopefully he'll be ready to lead and ready to make it rain with Overton in the backcourt. Yeah. I still think we're going to get a point guard, though, personally. I think he's going to play.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I was listening to Village Vice, and they're right. Might have been actually the Barncast last night. But Tahad was recruited as a combo guard to play the one or the two. Like he came to Auburn and with the intention of playing the one or the two.
Right.
So yeah, that he is very much capable of playing two, and I think he would thrive there. But also I kind of want to mention, like, everyone is going to talk about how Tahad had a horrible year this year. Where, yeah, look, this year wasn't his best. This year was not like his freshman year. He also didn't start his freshman year, but this year was not like his freshman year. I think a lot of it also has to do with the fact that this team wasn't built around, like, it wasn't built for him to be successful. You know what I mean? Like, freshman year, that team was built so Tahad could be successful.
Yeah.
This team wasn't. And I think a part of that reason was having Keyshawn Hall on the roster. Now, am I thankful we had Keyshawn Hall? Absolutely. He did great things. But having him and Tahad on the floor at the same time caused some, not like when I say issues, not issues against each other, but just issues against their both style of basketball.
Right.
Like their styles of basketball couldn't coexist on the floor at the same time and both produce. And so when you saw Keyshawn Hall produce like he did, Tahad wasn't going to produce. And so I think hopefully having Tahad, just kind of be the guy or play at the two, or, just kind of a different situation built around him so that, and I'm sure this was a lot of the conversations had about him returning too. Cause from what I've heard, the money side was never an issue for Tahad. Mm-hmm. Like Auburn was going to pay him no matter what. That wasn't the issue. The issue was about like, how are you going to use me next year? Like how am I going to work in this team?
Right.
And so clearly, and I'm hoping that they take that into consideration, and so they kind of build this team around Tahad and his strengths so that he can, we can utilize him and make him the best that we can.
No. Yeah, I agree. Like you mentioned it too, with him coming in. I think up until, I want to say it was right before, I guess it was mainly the back end of the SEC regular season last year when we went on a Final Four run is when he started to start, I guess, for the most part. But whenever he would come off the bench, he was like, it reminded me a lot of Jamal Crawford on the Clippers back when.
And honestly, I feel like he came off the bench like the majority of the year, even in the March Madness. I feel
Did. Yeah, some in March Madness.
Towards the end of the year, remember when Denver got hurt right towards the end of the season? He did start those games. Yeah. But even like in March Madness, he also didn't start.
Yeah.
So,
but that's why I'm saying, though, it's so dangerous when he was coming off the bench playing, because I don't think he was playing point when he was coming off the bench either, because he was
it was kind of a combination. It was kind of like that combo guard, like Denver would play the point, I would play the two, or sometimes Denver would be at the two, Todd would play the one. So like majority of the time it was Denver. But yeah.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see what if we truly are trying to go after a, like a true one. How that's going to look with Tahad playing the two. I think it'll work out. I know some people have asked, like, oh, what's it going to look like if, Tahad plays the two, where's Overton going to play? I'm like, well, he could technically play the three and just, we can have like a small ball lineup type of thing. We mentioned it on the last show, plug and play lineups. Like if you have a team, that's going to have some big guys, you bring out the big guns. If you have a team that's going to be athletic and try to be quick and slash your defense, you play small ball and compete with that and go with that. And I think Steven has the ability to get some people there and gets the people that he wants to have there, can run the system he wants to run and go from there, see what happens. I know that we're waiting on a couple more announcements. Potentially there might be one. Knowing our luck, about the time we hit done recording
at 6:45,
he will literally be announced. I'm more than likely expecting that. I'm prepping for it because it always happens. But if it doesn't, we're waiting on, at least I know of, two other names. Graham, what was another one that you had mentioned? before that, I personally think would be huge if we can land him just because of what team he's coming from.
Yeah, so Arizona's Dwayne Aristode. Aristode. I'm sorry if I'm butchering that.
Please don't not come because Graham messed your name up.
So he officially, this is from Pete Nakos, he officially entered the transfer portal with a do not contact tag. And we're hearing some stuff that Auburn very much could be in play here. The do not contact tag is super interesting. Obviously, that means that he's got one or two schools that he's, you know, he's going to visit, and it's going to be one of those two. And so true freshman last year, would be awesome if we could get him. He only averaged 3.8 points per game, 1.7 rebounds, and 0.7 assists, but he shot 49% from the field when he did play. He's from the Netherlands. But we've got kind of a little nugget on him. It said that he was an eighth man in a really good Arizona team. So he struggled to find playing time, and that's strictly, I think, because Arizona was so good. There wasn't a place in there, and they said that Arizona played two bigs, so like he couldn't even play the four. Like, there was just no spot for him to really get some playing time. But that he's really good. He's a knockdown shooter. I mean, which, heck, love that. Strong body, solid defensive mover. The only downside that people have talked about is that he apparently can't dribble super well. But, like, one, that can be taught. He was only a freshman. But two, how many times in the past has Auburn had a guy that fell into that category? I can think of one that was just here last year. Chris Murray was not the best dribbler on the court. Nope. Still wanted him on your team. Still loved having him. He played some really good defense possessions. Mm-hmm. And there's multiple guys even further down in the past that Auburn had issues that still worked. Hopefully we get him. I think it could be down between us and one other school, but it would be awesome if we did.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, yes, the ball handling thing is a concern, but with his ability to shoot, like on that scouting report that you just read, I don't think that really matters. He's going to be one of those guys that's going to be, you know, bouncing from corner to corner on some off ball screen, you know, catch and shoot, you know, pick and pop maybe. So I don't know. We'll see.
By the way, 6'8", 220. I forgot to mention that.
We love that. I want to get back to having a team that's deep. And I'm tired of the, you know, last year we had like, it felt like at one point it felt like a six man rotation, and you can't do that. It was ridiculous. I feel like to be successful in college basketball, period, you have to have at least 10 deep that you can, you know, plug and play. Like I said, it's just easier. I know that you're not going to use the whole roster, but you never know what'll happen with, you know, especially when you get some big guys in there in the picture too, because we did not have that this past season, and then we paid for it dearly. So,
and I think Steven knows that too. Like, I think obviously, like we've said in the past, Steven was a part of the Final Four roster, you know, last year, coaching staff. Apologies. he did not play. I can tell you that
he's a player coach,
but you know, like he knows what it takes and what type of team is going to be successful in college. Obviously, I mean, his dad has been a head coach of two Final Four teams. Like I said, he knows what he takes. He knows that you need a deep roster. And to me, it does feel like he is trying to push to get that deep roster going. So hopefully that's the case. If, you know, there's portals not open that much longer. So a lot of stuff's about to happen really quickly. A lot of commits, excuse me, a lot of visits this week, through this week and into the weekend. And typically with basketball recruiting, like, you want to get a guy to commit and sign while he's on campus. So if you have a guy come and visit and he leaves and it's going to take another visit, probably not the best sign, especially with only about a week left to go in the transfer portal. So it'll be fun to see what all happens.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw too, this was per Pete Thamel today. This is just how crazy college basketball has gotten nowadays. Did you see Louisville's haul that they got today?
Talking about how they got a Kansas guy.
Yeah, they got a package deal with like a Kansas guy
an Oregon guy or something.
Yeah, we're doing package deals now. Okay. I want to reiterate this if I haven't, and if you haven't heard me say it, and if you have, you're gonna hear it again. If you haven't, please clear your ears. agents right now are a pure cancer to college sports. And I'm not afraid to say that. They are causing so much chaos for these kids. They don't realize it. The only thing they care about is money in their pocket. They don't care about school tradition. They're not on our side on this, okay? They're not on the fan side. They're not on the student-athlete side, even though the student-athlete's like, oh, they're getting me more money. They're ruining careers. I'll be honest with you. I don't see Jovich popping off at UCLA. I don't know where Freeman's going to end up, but I don't see him developing into a great player elsewhere. I can tell you
they're definitely not teaching commitment or loyalty.
No.
Definitely tell you that.
No. Yeah, they are all about the cash money.
Thank you, John. You
know yeah, thank you for loyal. That to me. And this is to my point, and then we'll move on. Okay. This shows what type of program we have still, regardless of the poor season that we had. The chemistry that we have with the current players that are there that returned and Steven's relationship with Tahad to be able to retain him and with the amount of money I'm sure that was being thrown his way. Okay. I'm pretty sure he got a pay bump. I'm not going to say what the number is, but I'm almost certain based off text messages that we've had back and forth with, you know, certain people that I think he got a little pay bump, which is insane, but I'll take it. He's back and hopefully he's ready to lead the charge once basketball season returns in the fall. So I'm excited about that. But you know what else is exciting, Graham? AUShirts.com. That's what's exciting. Go to AUShirts.com to get all the gear from all the shows on the barn. Also, you see the ones there. You see shirts and hats and hoodies. We also have some cups there as well. New styles are added weekly. We're working on some designs as well, as including some social hour ones that Graham has been working feverishly on. And make sure to go to AUShirts.com to get your order. I'm sorry, Graham. You sounded like Carl Weezer from Jimmy Neutron. Oh, sorry. AUShirts.com. Again, that's AUShirts.com. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm crying. You sounded like
Carl Weezer. Now that I think about it, that did sound exactly like that.
Jimmy?
That did sound exactly like that.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. That's AUShirts.com.
Also, go to buyauburn.com and be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere all over the country. If you're an Auburn fan and you own an Auburn business, go to buyauburn.com and you can sign up today and get your business on the website so that all the Auburn fans can see that you're an Auburn fan and can come support you. For an example, if you're heading to Atlanta for the Auburn-Baylor game, go to buyauburn.com and see if there are any restaurants or bars in the area that are owned and run by Auburn fans. Then you can make a decision and go support them so that everyone can help out the Auburn family. I know I'm going to be using this website, and I really suggest you do too, to just, you know, support Auburn family, because why not? It would mean so much to everybody if we're all supporting each other, because we're all Auburn fans. We're one big family. So, yeah, like I said, go to buyauburn.com and sign up today or look today.
Yeah, it's a great I like the concept of that website. I really do. Awesome. If you again buyauburn.com, it's really cool.
And definitely example has always been like a restaurant or bar, realtors, insurance companies, auto stores, literally anything. If you're an Auburn fan, you can be anywhere in the country. If you're an Auburn fan, sign up.
Yeah. If you're a advocate for supporting local businesses, this is a way to do that, just in a different type of way. It might be out of town, but it's still Auburn owned, and it'll almost feel like you're at home. So definitely check that out for sure. Speaking of being local and at home, A-Day's this weekend. Let's go, A-Day! Yeah. We're gonna be there. I'm excited. I can't wait. Dude, that thing is so. I don't know how you have that on rapid fire like that. I mean, you get a Guinness World Record and see how many you can sound off in like a minute or something. But like I said, we're going to be at A Day. Can't wait. If you see us walking around, please say hello. We'd love to meet some of y'all and hang out and see what
that's so true. That is so true. If you see us, please come say something. Yeah. I would love to meet some of y'all.
Yeah. You're funny.
And,
yeah.
I'm not going to bite. I promise. I would love to talk to some of y'all. If you see me on campus this weekend, please come say hi. Please.
And if you ask nicely,
you're not bothering me. I promise.
If you ask nicely, Graham might do his Carl Weezer impression like he just did.
I will not. I will not.
Can I get it one more time? Just one more time.
Nope.
Okay. Oh my God, that caught me so off guard, man. But I'm excited about A-Day.
Also, you couldn't see my face, and I think that probably added to it.
Yeah, you couldn't see mine, thank God, because I was like immediately like tear ducts, was like whoosh. Oh my God. But yeah, A-Day is going to be fun. I'm curious to see what the team looks like in full pads and out there in Jordan-Hare. I'm ready to see Byron Brown and Jordan-Hare.
They're going to be hitting each other.
Yeah, they're going to be hitting each other for sure. I can't
wait. Yeah.
I'm ready to see what Golish and staff have prepared for us. And who knows what will happen. I know that the university's got some things prepared as far as like fun things around the campus it's that day. So.
Violent.
Byron Brown says that's his running style, violent, which I love.
Now that I say that, he probably won't run the ball much of at all. So
no, he's going to have an orange jersey on. He won't even be, but
you won't even be allowed to leave the pocket.
You know what would be sick? Which they won't do it. They never will. I'm convinced at this point they won't. But could you imagine the team walks out there in navy jerseys like normal, but navy pants or something? Like, just to change, like that would be so sick.
Because I can see that for like practice, A-Day for practice. Yeah, they do exist.
They exist. I just wish they'd wear them in game. I think they'll look sick. But what do I know? I'm just a.
Give me an orange jersey, please. Give me an orange jersey.
Yeah, something. Just change it up just a little. Like, do a navy helmet with the same color scheme on, the, like, something like that.
And, like, why do I kind of feel like Golish would be the coach to do it?
That's what I'm saying.
I think it was Harsin that gave us the orange face masks.
It is.
And white face masks. I will say that was one of the one things that I liked that Harsin did. Those were really cool. Especially the all whiteouts that we have now with the white face masks.
Stormtrooper.
Love those.
Stormtrooper's the best uniform in college football, and you can't argue with me on that at all.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I'm not going to say it's the best uniform in college football. It is good, but to say it's the best.
Preston SEC. And everyone's like, what about Oregon? I'm like, which? Everyone's like, which one that Oregon wears?
I still disagree. It's the best. I don't think it's the best in the SEC.
What's the best in the SEC?
I'm going to have to go. Some of the Ole Miss combinations are phenomenal.
I like the powder blue. Not
their real tree helmets too, like the camo helmets. Oh my gosh! And their powder blue. Oh, bro, they're so tough.
I like the powder blue. I don't know about that real tree one though. Maybe I don't know. I'll have to.
I love the real tree helmet. Also, an Oregon's eggshell were tough, and also the Tennessee all blacks. Oh my gosh, the Tennessee all blacks are so nice.
Yeah, I just there's something about the clean look of the all white.
It looks clean. I can't disagree there. I just don't know if it's the best. Because it's just all white. It looks clean. Don't get me wrong, I agree. But I just would not argue it's the best.
When someone tries to argue that Oregon has a better uniform than anyone in college football, I'm like, which one out of the 357 you have?
I agree with that. They have too many.
Good Lord. Like, hey, I would like some ice cream. Oh, which flavor? It's like, hold on. I just want vanilla. It's like, well, we have this, and like,
they could probably go like four seasons straight and wear a different like jersey every single game and still not run out.
I think they wear a different uniform every game. I think that's still a thing. It's been a thing since 2010. Like, I swear it is. I remember specifically that being a trend in 2010, and maybe it happened before that, but I just was too young to remember before then, but who knows? It's crazy that people are like, oh, Oregon's uniform. I'm like, what about it? Like, Auburn owns Oregon and everything. That conversation.
It looks like they went to elementary school and it's like, all right, y'all draw a football jersey. And they're like, okay, bet. And they just picked one from the elementary kid.
No, it looks like you get
to anybody that designed them.
No, and this is no offense to anyone either. But like, if you were to give a granola person a canvas and be like, throw paint on it and splatter it. And then Oregon's like, that's our uniform. That's exactly
got Oregon eggshell.
Yes, right, that's literally like someone like strapped a paint can and like punched a hole in the bottom of it and let it like Jackson fly
Pollock.
Around.
Do you know who Jackson Pollock is?
Yes.
The painter?
Yes.
Jackson Pollock is the eggshell.
Okay.
Jerseys. That's a Jackson Pollock painting right there.
Oh, man. It's called abstract art, Graham. Something we would never understand, apparently. Say,
clearly, I don't appreciate abstract art.
Yeah. So that you don't get it. I'm like, no, I do. It just looks like scribbles, but that's just me. It's like it's worth it's
much more than that, Hunter.
It's worth millions of dollars.
I'm like, it's scribbles.
I could get a child at a local elementary school to draw this, and it would make a so like, come on. Like, what are we doing, man? Come on. But
yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, but again, A-Day this weekend, the 18th. If you see anyone, not only us are going to be around, I think Kyle's going to be around as well. So
I think Zach might be too.
Yeah, Zach is too. So that'll be, and I'm sure Dap will be.
Daryl will probably be there too.
Yeah,
Brett might make an appearance. Come see Brett.
Hey, dude. And we're working on something as far as like a local meetup, if you will. But we're really close to finalizing
some details.
Yeah, we're trying to finalize some details, but
hopefully tomorrow we'll have it. Like, we'll be able to say something.
Yeah, we'll be able to update you on that and get all the details out. And I'm sure we'll try to make a graphic or something on social media and share it and try to get some people to pull up. Cause it'd be, again, we want to meet you guys. Y'all are hilarious in the Barncast, and some of the people that comment on our episodes are making
Albinator and Dat fan. I expect you to be there.
Yes, please. And I don't care how long the drive is. Make it happen.
I don't care.
Just kidding.
I don't care.
Don't do that. Gas prices are a booger
right now. I'm not kidding. I want you there.
Okay. Rent a Tesla.
if y'all live close,
they do that.
And y'all figure that out. Carpool together. It's fine with me too. But y'all
road trip. But yeah, again, that being said, don't forget to subscribe to The Barn and check out thebarn.com as well for everything and anything pertaining to Auburn sports. Please like and subscribe to this channel. And if you like what you see, like this podcast you're watching now, The Barn Social Hour, we also have other great podcasts like The Top Button Podcast with Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, Village Vice with Zach Blackerby and Brad Law, and The Baseball Show with Lindsey Crosby, Brad Law, and occasionally Sonny DeShera. Baseball had a big, baseball update, had a big weekend. 1-2 out of 3 against Kentucky. I will take it. It's not a sweep, but I will take it. I'm hoping this will be a start to a good run, and Butch will get back on the winning track. So I'm glad that they got that this weekend and starting to get back on the win column. So that's all you can ask for in a weekend like that against an SEC opponent too, like Kentucky. So excited to see where the season goes with that. But Graham, with that being said, I don't have anything else. You got anything?
Nope.
Awesome. Well, again, like, subscribe if you like what you see and what you're listening to. And please follow us on anywhere and everywhere you get your podcast, whether that be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you name it. And yeah, other than that, my name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. And as always, everyone have a great rest of your night in War Dam. We'll see you soon.
Bye. Have a great time.